Well, good morning, everybody. Aaron Nagler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on the social channels, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, the harbingers of doom of our modern age, but also a place where we can gather and talk Packers each and every day here on Packers Daily. It's what we do. Also, don't forget, this afternoon slash early evening, all along these same social channels, you'll get Packer Transplants Live. That's right, Corey and I will be coming to you with a very special guest. The mayor of Green Bay will join us to talk Packers, their involvement in the community, and all sorts of green and gold nonsense. Good to see everybody here in the comments section. The Packers will be back on the practice field later today. They will undoubtedly be giving us another injury report that shows that Jamal Williams is not yet back from the injury he sustained on Saturday night. And look, I understand. It's late in the year. You've got to get your best guys out there, and you need them to produce. But it is time, people. It is time for this coaching staff to start trusting A.J. Dillon. The guy rips off a great 18-yard run and then never touches the ball again on Saturday night, even after Jamal goes down for an injury. It is mystifying to me. And didn't get a chance to ask Coach about it yesterday. I'm going to hope to get to it today. But it kind of boggles the mind. You took this guy in the second round. You clearly like his ability. And I understand it's about development, and you're hoping that he can step into a bigger role next year, but you need him right now. The weather has turned. It is December in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It is time to unleash him against the Tennessee Titans. Sick of this nonsense. Sick of this big, bruising, beautiful back just sitting on the bench, not doing anything, while Lambeau Field is sitting there just waiting for him to wreak havoc. It is time, to quote the late great Kevin Green. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Nags, what is the word on the kicker the Packers signed? Molson has got a great name. I drank many of his beers while I was in college. Now, essentially, this is about getting him on the practice squad and stopping the kind of revolving door that they've had throughout the season, really. I think they worked him, this guy, Molson, specifically back in November. Essentially, it's kind of a in case of emergency break glass situation. It's not anything specific that's going on with Crosby, but in the previous months where they've been bringing guys in and out, they've been able to work a guy out, let him go, know that they'd have his information on file, etc. And then if they needed him, say, throughout the week, they could re-sign him. Even with COVID protocols being the five-day window, they would know, hopefully, in advance enough where they could, okay, Mason got hurt on Sunday. We know we can sign this guy or call for him on Monday and have him in by the next weekend. Now with, the postseason approaching and COVID protocols have become much more strict since Thanksgiving, the Packers are undoubtedly just saying, let's just have a guy on staff, so to speak, in case anything happens. It's not, again, anything that's happened with Mason. It is just about having an emergency option in case something does. Pretty smart on Brian Gutekunst's part, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe a James Starks-type playoff run with Dillon. Ooh. Kirk or John, I like where your head's at, buddy. I like how you're thinking. Although, you don't really need to lean on him because you have Aaron Jones, but I'm all for letting him loose, no doubt about it. I don't recall us having issues with Marshawn Lynch last year. I think we'll be fine versus Derrick Henry. Oh, and Marshawn Lynch was a shell of his former self when the Packers faced him in the playoffs last year. Derrick Henry is a whole nother world of hurt. I'm not saying that they are going to let him loose, although I do suspect he is going to get his yards. But I would caution you against equating the two, because Derrick Henry is in his prime and ready to wreak all sorts of havoc. Craig, thanks for the super chat. How is Dillon at pass pro as well as catching the ball? I mean, we haven't seen him do pass pro since the summer, really, in any meaningful way. He was improving throughout the time I was in Green Bay. He was rough early on, no doubt about it. Catching the ball, he's been fine. He looked like he had really soft hands, really adept at catching it out of the backfield. Saw him work downfield quite a bit this summer as well as a receiver, and he looked like a natural. That was the thing they always talked about when after they drafted him and people asked about his limited production in the passing game at Boston College. The scouts and everybody would always say, well, he wasn't asked to do it. And that is true. But yeah, I think he's got the ability in the pass game. It's just he hasn't been asked to do much there. As far as his pass pro, that is always the concern with rookie backs. There's no doubt about it. I would counter with when one is up 21-3 and it's time to salt away some clock, perhaps turn to your bruising back who, you know, you don't need to worry about him in pass pro. Just let him go knock some people in the dirt. That's just me. I'm old school. This is how I roll. Steven, thank you for the super chat. We have been successful with rubs and attacking the middle of the field all year long. What happens to that attack when our offense is in a lull? Steven, that is an excellent, excellent question. I would say, though, if you go back and you watch the game, one of the key third downs they pick up in the drive that ends up netting them the 3 points to get them to 24 is on a third down where they use a rub to get Lazard wide open over the middle of the field. That's the play that ends with him trying to hurdle a dude and basically putting his crotch in his face instead. So it's not like it completely disappeared. But I am with you in the sense of why do they continually try and work that perimeter stuff when, you know, it's clear that they have the sets and they have the personnel and they have the ability to use kind of that bunch rub stuff and just get guys open over the middle. That is kind of mystifying to me. I'm with you there, Steven. But like I said, they did utilize it to good effect in that game on Saturday night. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. AJ Dillon just needs to put his thighs into blocking and he'll launch fools out of the stadium. Fair point, Dustin. Very fair point. Lazard did teabag that dude. I mean, he kind of did. Oh, boy. Punch them in the mouth over and 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 over again, to quote the great Marshawn Lynch. I love how this team constantly supports each other. Eric, I'm with you, man. And it's not, you know, I know, like, there are fans who kind of poo-poo it. I think real fans really enjoy it, and we love seeing the camaraderie. I know there are people, cynics, if you will, who dismiss that kind of thing. But I'm on board. I think it matters. I think the chemistry really bleeds into the field of play. You see guys really fighting for each other, and I think they do. You can feel it. You know, we talked about it a lot last year, how there was that really, I don't know, kind of sense of camaraderie in the locker room, and it was a rare and special thing. You heard Rodgers talk about it prior to the bye week last year. You know, and it's hard during these times, these trying times we find ourselves in, but I do think this team has done a really good job of staying connected and supporting each other, like you're talking about. It's noticeable, and it's not that way on every team. Even successful teams don't always have what the Packers have, and I love that it's our team. I love it. Andy, thanks for the super chat. Panthers was a minute 15 kickoff. Mind wasn't functioning. Can you enlighten me? What happened with the O-line? Seemed to become porous after a solid season. Many of those sacks that the Panthers, and it's funny because I was a bit mystified myself watching it live, but you go back and you watch it, a lot of what happened was the Packers trying to push the ball down the field and coverage being there. Aaron just not getting the ball out of his hands. Now, there was one in particular where Burns just flew off the snap of the ball and won his battle, so to speak. But for the most part, you know, that is a lot of that is coverage and, you know, Aaron trying to step up and avoid the rush and extend the play and just not finding an outlet. I don't think it's anything very specific to the offensive line. Like, as far as there were a few games that they ran some stunts that maybe the Packers weren't ready for and or, you know, were a little slipshod in picking up. But again, it was 21-3. When those sacks started happening, a lot of what the Packers were doing was playing into the Panthers' strength. The Panthers were playing a lot of kind of eight-man coverage, and Rodgers was trying to look downfield. And when things weren't there, you know, a couple of times you saw him get outlets. Like, there were a few times to Lazard on the right side and Tonyan on the right side where, you know, it's not there, it's not there. Okay, hit my check down or hit my outlet. But there were also times when Aaron didn't find anything, thought he saw a lane, tried to step up, and that's when a sack happened. Or didn't see anything, okay, tried to escape out to his left, and protection breaks down because you can only expect him to hold up for so long, and he gets caught from behind. So I don't think it was anything specific to in the sense of, you know, this offensive line got whipped. I certainly didn't see that. But, you know, there were a lot of circumstances leading to the production they had in the pass rush. Pee-wee, thanks for the super chat. Maybe not this year, but I see LaFleur getting Super Bowls. Multiple. Plural, if you will. I like your confidence. Mick Lexi, thanks for the super chat. First time making it live, always teaching. What do they do to not give up the big play, but still respect Henry, scheme and personnel-wise? I mean, again, I've been talking about it seemingly for a month now. You're going to have to pick your poison at times. They do a really good job with their personnel trying to dictate what you do defensively. I don't think there's any question that you're going to see guys in the box. You're going to see, you know, an extra linebacker, maybe a safety down there, etc. You're going to have to man up Jair as much as you can on A.J. Brown, but they have other weapons. And I don't think that the Packers are going to limit this offense in any way. And, you know, it sucks, but it's really good. They have a lot going for them on that side of the ball. I do think they can slow them down, and I do think they can stiffen in the red zone. Henry is a load, and he is going to be a big problem, but he is not the only thing they have going. They'll mix up coverages. I do think you're going to see a few more run blitzes where, you know, typically, traditionally, the Packers don't like to utilize run pressure on early downs, but I do think you'll see a bit more of it. Now, that can leave them open, not only in the play action game, but just in the quick slant game, etc. But I do think if they want to limit what Henry can do on the ground, they're going to have to be a bit more aggressive than usual. Joseph, thanks for the super chat. Be sure to watermark this video before Eagleton takes credit. What is up with those dudes? Man, the Gen Max saga yesterday was out of this world crazy. For anyone listening or watching doesn't know, Jen put up this funny meme after the Pro Bowl rosters were announced, and it just was a hand handing off a baton to another hand, and it was, you know, Za'Darius Smith snubbed to the Pro Bowl, Robert Tonyan. Very funny. I thought I was amused. I remember I was out shopping. I was trying to get last minute stocking stuffers for my girls, and I saw it on my phone. I was like, oh, that's really funny. And I hit favorite and went about my day. Yesterday, this dude just stole this shit and like put his own name on it. And then like tried to pass it off as on his own and then doubled down when Jen called him out on it. And oh, not just Jen, but like the entire internet called him out on it. Like, why? It's 2020, man. What are you doing? Thomas, go Pack, go, man. Corey coming back and Jenkins back at guard will make a difference. I think so. I don't think, though, that because they were discombobulated, so to speak, or in their, you know, not their preferred personnel up front, that's a major reason why the Panthers are able to take advantage. But anytime you can get the guy who's playing the best ball at center in the league back at center, it's obviously going to help. No question about it. More Austin motion this week. Robin, that's a really good question. I mean, it was kind of non-existent again on Saturday night. I didn't expect a ton of it, but you saw a smattering of it against the Eagles. I thought they'd start expanding it, but you know, Matt's always the one who's going to say, you know, it's opponent dependent, matchup specific, etc. So maybe they just didn't think it was worth utilizing against what, you know, is a very unusual scheme for the Panthers. We need Gilbert Brown this week. Man, they need Gilbert Brown every week. Why not win it all now? It's been lining up now for the Packers to get through the NFC in years and beat the Chiefs. Robin, from your comment to the football god's ears. Did Rick Wagner have a bad game versus the Panthers? I wouldn't characterize it as bad. I think he was pretty solid, actually. He was surprisingly better in the run game than I would have thought. I thought he was Rick Wagner. I mean, he played about to the same level we've seen him play all year. You know, he's not an outstanding player, but you can definitely win with him. The Packers have. I do think he got taken advantage of once or twice, but yeah, that's pretty par for the course. Again, on a lot of the plays where that happened, Usually Aaron's been getting the ball out of his hands. Aaron held onto the ball a little bit more on Saturday night. It happens. Patrick, thanks for the super chat. As usual, Nags, don't read my super chat. Go, Pat, go. No, I will not read your super chat. I refuse to read your super chat. Why would I read your super chat? What are you, supporting Cheesehead TV? Why the hell would I do that? See, it's not even here. You see, you guys, I think you guys make up super chats. I really do. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Sunday is finally the day Bakhtiari catches a touchdown pass. This is my original comment. Didn't steal it from Joey the Jaguar. Nope, nope, nope. I like it. Oh, here we go. So I knew, and of course this came from Twitter or Periscope, but whatever. But this is where this kind of stuff lives. Stat which worries me. Packers only played three teams with winning records and lost to two of them. They can only play the teams on their schedule. They can only play the teams on their schedule. And there are reasons they lost those games. Did, you know, the winning record make MVS fumble the football? No. Did the winning record make Aaron Rodgers throw a quick slant that bounced into the air and became an interception and completely turned the tide of the game? No. That stat means as much as he averages three touchdowns on Monday Night Football. Who gives a shit? All that matters is the game in front of you, the game that needs to be played. Each and every game is a battle that has circumstances and context. And stats like that mean absolutely nothing. Sorry, not sorry. And that's not to come down on you. I know you're just, this is something that's been out there in the ether. She says, that shit bugs me. Sam, thanks for the super chat. Should have a play in which Love lines up at receiver at the goal line, throw him a TD, and watch social media explode. Would be fun. Go, Pack, go. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if they made him active just for that play? You're right. Social media would absolutely melt. It would be amazing. Sean, I want to hear about a second date. You see, the scruff is growing back, right? Man, let me tell you something about dating during a pandemic. That shit sucks, yo. I don't know. It's all weird, man. Every human on this earth has a different kind of set of expectations about what communication should be like. Like, some women I'm texting too much, and then so I don't, and then I meet a new one, and I'm like, oh, I better not text too much. And it's like, you didn't text me for a day. Like, a day! Man, don't date during a pandemic. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's my advice to each and every one of you. Sly, I like Barnes. Man, I like Barnes too. I think he's coming on. I think people would do well to temper their enthusiasm a little bit. I think he's a good player, young player, still going to make a lot of mistakes. But I like what I've seen so far. I love that they've given him the helmet, the communication helmet, more ownership of what's going on out there. I love all that. He's going to have his hands full this week, no doubt about it. Do I think if Pettin schemes well against Henry, he will no longer be on the hot seat? Bam, we don't know that he's on the hot seat. I know he's on the hot seat of Twitter, but nobody knows if he's on any kind of hot seat with Matt LaFleur, who is the only person whose opinion matters. And no one game is going to sway things. I mean, unless it's embarrassment in the NFC Championship game again. That would be the one circumstance where I would say, okay, yeah, there's probably a good bet chance here that, you know, LaFleur pulls the trigger. But, you know, he's going to look at the entirety of the body of work, not just one game. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Does Tinder have a do you promise to wear a mask requirement like Uber does? Kind of, some, it depends. I don't know. I'm not on Tinder. I wouldn't know. Good or bad idea if the Packers rest Rodgers in week 17? Thoughts, Blake? I wouldn't. I'd let him play a little bit at the beginning of the game and then sit him for Tim Boyle. That's just me. That's just something I'm into. All right, guys, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers. And please, like I said, tonight, 5 p.m., make sure you're here for Packer Transplants Live. Corey and I will have a very special guest. The mayor of Green Bay will join us to talk Packers, Green Bay, the community, their work together. It's going to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, please hit like on this video. Subscribe to the social channels. And hey, if you want to support us on Patreon, please consider giving us $5 a month, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. We had the happy hour last night. It was a lot of fun. Always is. Thanks to all our Patreon members who showed up. It's always a good time. If you can't support us there, I totally understand. But please do hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Go Pack, go.